And if you want to share with us the scariest thing that's ever happened to you at nighttime, we'll go right ahead. We've got an hour of open lines for you. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Art's going to do the program for us. And I've got to go to Washington, D.C., as I was saying several hours ago. Once a year, all the affiliates gather at a major talk radio convention. It's either held in Los Angeles or in Washington, D.C. They flip-flop every year. This one's going to be in D.C., and I shall be out there for the day. And then I'll be back again on Monday. I'm going to be in St. Louis for 1 week next week, and then it's back to Los Angeles for 3 weeks. Then I come back to St. Louis in April. I'm going to do my shows here, but my 24-year-old son is getting married, marrying his high school sweetheart. And he's all excited about that. So, of course, I will be here for the wedding, and we'll just simply do the shows out of the cage. The Digicam is up. The folks in Los Angeles have decided to do something clever, so they have sent a picture there. And, guys, you can come up with something better than that. But there it is, if you want to take a look at part of the studio in Los Angeles. I have a digital camera, and in April, when I come back to the cave, I'm going to take a couple photographs for you, and I'll send it along to Lex, and we'll get those posted on Digicam for you. I have always been a 35 millimeter guy. I mean, I like the film in the digital age. They had to pull me into it. But I'm just starting to play around with digital cameras now and getting to know how that stuff works and how to put pictures on a computer and send them and things like that. So I will do that in April. We'll get pictures of the cave for you. And, hopefully it won't be flooding by that time, and we'll send them up to Lex and have him post those for you as well. Today, when I was driving in St. Louis, I see a building, and it's got a big sign on it, and people are going into this place like crazy. And as I get closer to the building, I notice that it says Medical Spa and Loser Center. And I went, what is that? And I looked at it, and it said Medical Spa and Loser Center. And these people are going in, and I'm saying, these people have guts. You know, they think they're losers, and they're going in there to get treatment, and they're going in there to get helped. And I said, that's pretty gutsy of them. Of course, as I got closer to the building, I realized that the little O in loser was really a funny little A, and it was Medical Spa and Laser Center. Only goes to show you. Anyway, we've got open lines for you. You've got the numbers. I'll be back in a moment, and this hour will just race by on Coast to Coast AM. And Henry from Sun Valley, California, is taking a look at the Digicam photo on the coasttocoastam.com website right now. And he says, George, you've got one funky keyboard there. Is that a lightweight one? And it is. Matter of fact, one of my keyboards in the studio in Los Angeles is rubber. And only because, you know, you don't want the keys to make too much noise when you're on the air doing research and things like that. However, I cannot seem to get the mouse to stop clicking. They have experimented. They have given me three different kinds of mouse units. One is the conventional one, the one you know about. Then there's a pen kind. That's a little difficult for me to use. And then there's a touch screen 1-2 mouse, and that's a little difficult too. I'm used to the regular size mouse, and every once in a while you will hear it clicking as I'm doing some research. And in St. Louis in the cave, I use the mouse to click the phones when you're on the air. So when I go to a caller and click it, chances are you may hear the mouse doing that as well. But technology is wonderful. Let's go east of the Rockies. See, you didn't even hear that mouse that time, did you? You're on the air. Hi there.
Couldn't hear a thing, George.
It was nice and silent, like it's supposed to be.
Hey, how you doing? This is Brad. I'm calling you from Dayton, Ohio. Spoken with you many times in the past. It's always an honor to speak with you.
Thank you.
You may remember me. I was the guy who saw the man dog eating out of the dumpster.
Oh, yes. That was a great call.
Me. I haven't seen him since. And
I don't think you want to, do you?
I'm not disappointed. Not disappointed at all. Couple of things. Well, last time I called you, I congratulated you on your son. Now I'm going to congratulate you on being with us now until 2012 and beyond.
And beyond. You know what? I told my network president when we did this lengthy contract extension several weeks ago, and then we just signed it and everything's all done now. I said, you know what? You're going to have to carry me out this time.
I
mean, I'm 55 years old. I'm taking care of myself, and for me, retirement, after I had dinner with a 93-year-old woman and her 92-year-old husband,
wow.
she said to me, well, you know, don't ever retire, because that's when you really, you know, that's when you die, that's when you call it quits, and so I'm not going to, I'm just going to keep going.
Well, George, we all love you, and we're going to miss you tomorrow night, but I think that your substitute is a little more than qualified.
Yeah, so. I think how ironic that Art filling in for me, but I got to tell you, I mean, just having him around doing what he does is an honor, and you know, with him wanting to pick up this Friday for me and help me out, it just helps a great deal. But more importantly, it gives all of us an opportunity. I'm going to listen to him when I'm in Washington, D.C. It's been a long time since he had just a pure open line night. You know, he does his Ghost to Ghost show and he does his prediction show. This is going to be fun for him, and it's going to be fun for everybody who listens. I mean, it's classic Art Bell, and everybody might as well savor the moment.
The only thing I'm upset about is we don't have Ian out here yet. So,
yeah, we're working that. He's on 200-plus affiliates on that Coast to Coast Live Saturday show.
And he's great,
and he's a wonderful person. And Ian is going to be out in Washington, D.C. Had an opportunity to meet him face-to-face couple of years ago. And just a wonderful human being.
With a great sense of humor as well.
Absolutely. He's got a different kind of sense of humor. And the more you listen to him, the more you appreciate it.
Well, George, a couple of things I just wanted to touch on. I won't hold you up too long. The first thing is I got to disagree with your guest on the ports and agree with you. I just don't see how this is a sensible thing. I came up with a crazy idea, and I'm sure many other people have come up with this, is, you know, just to let Americans rent it. That makes more sense to me, but, you know, it feels like, you know, you're kind of helpless in a situation.
Yeah, I know, and I don't share Charles's thoughts that this is going to be a slam dunk. I don't think that this deal is a done deal yet.
I hope not. Last thing. You did, what was the show, The Skeptic Cage?
Yes.
And I thought that was possibly one of the best shows you've ever done. To me, that was a great show. And I think, now, this may be wrong. I may be the only person who thinks this, but I think, do you plan on doing it again?
I will be doing more of those, more roundtables, more in-the-cage-type battles between guests. So, yes, and in terms of the Skeptic Cage, yeah, we're gonna do more of those as well. I'd like to, you know, I want to spread it out. I don't want it to become so routine that you expect it all the time, but we will do that.
Well, would you mind if I make one suggestion to you?
No, go ahead.
On another show that I thought you did that was very, very good was when you had Eric Hufschmidt and Richard C. Hoagland on.
Yes.
And these guys were battling, and I thought that was some of the best entertainment I've ever heard on radio. Yeah, because those guys were going at it, and they're both really intelligent with what they deal with, and I thought it was great. I'm thinking, how about do a conspiracy theory, Skeptic Cage? Maybe get one guy, you know, for Kennedy assassination, thinking there's more to that, 9/11, the moon landing, and have one guy that's against it all and let him go at it.
That's not a bad idea.
I think it would be great. But,
okay.
You know.
Thanks,
thank
Brad.
Thank you, George. You have a great night and hope to talk to you again soon.
By the way, David Icke got a hold of us a couple days ago, and he's going to be with us sometime in March for a couple hours. One of the things David wants to talk with us about, of course, is the fact that his website was hacked. You might remember last Friday night while we were on the air, something really strange happened. I got a few emails, checked out his website, and it looked like it was taken over by some intelligence arm of the British Secret Service. It was a strange situation. Anyway, David is convinced it was hacked. He's going to be our guest sometime in March. Just keep looking on the coasttocoastam.com website for the schedule. I think it's the latter part of March that he'll be on. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Nope, you're gone. Well, we'll go to our first-time caller line. Your turn. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Uh-oh, we've lost two. Let's hope we're not having some problems here. Wildcard line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George?
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Well, hi. I got a story for you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, I'm a paper carrier. I'm in Iowa. And there's this one house that I deliver to. And I'll tell you what, it's an average street, your average houses. But one night I went to go put the paper in their mailbox like they like. And I kid you not, I was walking back to my truck, and out of the corner of my eye, I swear, I think it was the Grim Reaper, he grabbed my shoulder, and I spun around and got in my truck. It was like he was tall, dark. It was like a shadow.
What was he wearing? What was he wearing?
What was I wearing?
No, not you, the Grim Reaper.
He was black. It was black.
So he had the hood up and everything.
Yes, yes, and he had the real long, skinny fingers. And when he grabbed my shoulder and I got in the truck, the whole left side of my body for about 30 minutes tingled. When I go down that street, I will not go down that between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning because I still see him. He runs up and down behind the houses.
What do you mean he runs?
I see it. I don't know if you would call it like a shadow person or what, but he hunches over and he runs behind the houses as I'm going up and down the street. So it's like, I have a feeling this guy wants me.
When he grabbed you, did he have like bony fingers or did it feel bony?
It was like black bony fingers.
Oh my gosh.
Tell me about it.
And the Grim Reaper.
When I go down that street, I am on the phone with another carrier. You know, and it's like they laugh at me, but you know what? They'll stay on the phone with me. And it's I'll never forget that as long as I live. I've seen ghosts, okay? I've had one move through me. I've smelled them, you know. That was too much.
Well, just be very careful of the Grim Reaper. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
This is Randy from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Randy. Welcome to the show.
Fine. Actually, there's several things I wanted to talk about. I used to do research and development under Tesla for Ronald Reagan and at DIA under Dr. Verona.
And what kind of research did you do?
Actually, basically, we started out early in doing his paper research, what happened to all his photographs.
Don't we think the feds took them?
Oh, yes, they did. Actually, it was the Navy. It was they did microfilm back in 1939. They started with microfilming all his Tesla's work.
Someone somewhere then is still hiding some of incredible stuff.
It still floats around. Matter of fact, what's really interesting, too, under Tesla is when you go into a room, a scientist just mentioned his name. It's like E.F. Hutton. Everybody just becomes very quiet and just like wants to listen to what you're talking about.
Ever think we're going to get those plans and get them out into the right hands?
Some of the stuff I've seen, yes, eventually. But most of the stuff like with free energy and everything like that, which people are talking about, is not exactly what Tesla was really doing.
It wasn't necessarily free, but he was trying to extract energy from, the atmosphere, from the universe, right?
Yes and no. Actually, what you have to really do to understand what he was doing is look at the flow of his patents. Every time Tesla had a problem, he would sit there and try to figure out how to solve that problem, and he would do something to invent it. There's like four inventions that he made in a group for... shall we say, I'd hate to use the word free energy, but basically what he was doing in his wireless transmission of energy was inducing a electromagnetic field in our atmosphere and oscillating it.
Imagine if he were alive today in this era with the age of computers and technology, how good he would have been?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Matter of fact, that's some of the stuff like Dean Barker, who was one of the five people left after World War II that could go anywhere in the government. He says when he met Tesla for 20 minutes, he says, if I know now, which was back in 1980, before when I was talking with him. He says, if I know now what I, when I first met Tesla, I would have never let him out of my sight. And so, matter of fact, Tesla's death ray actually does work. I did a lot of work on that. I also have three patents, which are L5 miscellaneous, which anybody out there who knows what I just said.
Well, DARPA just reported a few weeks ago that they are working on a laser weapon, and that's the death ray, isn't
it? No. Laser weapon has different properties. Basically, what they're trying to do with the laser weapon is to heat, like, the fin of the missile.
Yeah.
And what that does is cause, like, a little bubble, and then that will start the oscillation in the missile, and the missile will never hit its target.
Okay,
but the problem with that is they just can't lock on to the missile long enough to heat up that piece of metal.
What would Tesla's death ray do?
Tesla's death ray actually was when he was going to sell it to the Brits for 14 million pounds sterling back there before World War II. Actually, it started out at 10 million, then went up to 12, and then 14. And then Churchill said, excuse me, we're not going to pay that much money, and went to, what was his name? He began with a W. Anyway, who developed the radar for the Brits and said, I can do that for 10 million pounds. And so Tesla got dropped. Tesla's basically death ray was shooting a high stream of electrons. Basically, what he was doing was taking tungsten, which is one of the easiest metals to sit there and remove electrons from. That's why they're in electric light bulbs. And what he did was put a high stream of electrons from tungsten into a line and shoot that out.
I see. Now, was this huge? It was big, wasn't it?
No.
Because
no.
How big was the unit? Because I think people think that while he was experimenting, he's the one that caused that blast over Siberia.
No. He never did that. No.
You don't think he did that by mistake?
I know he didn't. No.
Now, tell me that you were able to grab some of these documents and you've got some stuff.
Yes.
Can you get us some copies?
I don't know. I'll have to ask my other partner.
All right. You do that because I'd love to see them. We'd post them on our website to see authentic documents from Tesla. That would be a home run. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Welcome. Yeah.
This is Alan from Dayton, Ohio. He had just had another fellow from Dayton.
We sure did. We're getting bombarded with Dayton tonight. Hi.
You're keeping me awake. We're at an institution in Dayton, and I'm security for that institution. But the thing that I called up about was your guest. He said, you know, a lot of things that really sounded good and everything like that, but here's what I really believe. I believe that we're selling off our country bit by bit. First, we've sold off our manufacturing. General Motors is...
And we're outsourcing everything.
Yeah, we're outsourcing everything. And now, to add fuel to the fire and to burn the rest of us down, they're selling off the ports, the highways, the different things that mean so much to us. And the only way that I can think to do anything is to call our representatives. And I've done that. I've called DeWine, Voinovich, and Turner.
Those and keep after them, because make no mistake about it. If you don't think a one world government is around the corner, you're wrong. It is, and you could just see what's happening. Open lines continue. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, the folks at the NighthawkZone.com website, the chat room, they were looking at the Digicam picture of our studio, and they saw the chair that I have, and they feel sorry for me. They want to chip in and buy me a new one. No, not to worry. Don't do that. By the way, I stand 90% of the time when I do the program. Don't buy me a new chair at all. I stand most of the time. It is amazing what you can do with Photoshop. I'll tell you, somebody just sent Tom a picture with my head on it as if I'm 85 years old and sitting behind the the Los Angeles studio. And I got to tell you, it's got to be one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I can't post it. Cannot post it. Wish I could. Moving on, east of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Doing fine. Where are you calling from?
I am just now coming into Georgia, so I'm on I-20 heading towards Atlanta.
As long as the devil didn't come down to Georgia, that's okay.
Okay. I have a couple questions for you, and then I want to tell you about a couple dreams I had.
Okay.
All right, with the selling off of the port, you look at our textile mills, our shoes, our clothing, everything is made in China. If not China, Taiwan, or some other place, India, Indonesia. With our strategic location, selling off CSX, Railroad, the ports in Beaumont, Texas, and Corpus Christi, looking into those strategic locations, even the some of our naval bases being closed, our Air Force base being closed, Army bases being closed. My question to you is there a branch in the government that sees all of this, that say, hey, there is something that is going on that will go and arrest the people that is doing this to this country?
No. You're talking about a coup, and that is not going to occur under our present form of government. You know, you're talking about a group of people who may see a bigger picture, and they might want to step in and stop it before things get out of control. I don't see that happening. You know, we hear rumors all the time, but I don't.
I see a dictatorship being formed here.
It is a form of dictatorship if we continue to give away all the assets of this country. I see it more as joining a club of a one-world government where basically the corporations are subsidiaries. The countries become subsidiaries to a bigger holding company where several people are on the board. And I truly see that happening down the line.
Okay, I hear on the news, and I know the news, it's a lot of cover-up, so you have to kind of like eat the meat and spit out the bone. They talk about internationalists. They talk about globalists. Well, we know that there's a one-world government that's forming. The American people is not stupid, and we see this picture, but where can we turn to? Who can we vote for or put in office when most of your presidents is involved in the Skull and Bones secret organization, the Illuminati, the Masons? And who can we turn to in times like this as far as voting the right person in office?
Well, I'm not sure about voting the right person in office because, you know, that's a process of whoever the candidates may end up. And, of course, as we know, the big boys generally get who they want to run as candidates on both major parties. I think what you have to do, though, and I am a strong believer not only in this program but in a lot of the other alternative programs that are out there that don't get a lot of publicity. That's one of the reasons why I now try to bring them along and nurture them, because though some of the things they talk about could be construed as being conspiratorial or really wild, wacky things, there's a lot of truth to what they say. And it's very important, no matter who the organization is or what the group is or who the website might belong to, they have a lot of things there that have some strong basis in fact that you're not going to get anyplace else. So hopefully through this program, we can use that as almost like a steering point, a funnel to bring everybody the right information. And maybe one day, maybe we'll get a candidate we can all trust and get behind, who will realize that there's more to this planet than just greed and money, and then try to use the resources of this world's greatest country, and that's the United States. I'm beginning to say company because that's what it's sounding like. And, you know, and allow us to help other nations in a good way. And I think if we can do that, you're going to see a lot of these other problems go away.
Okay. And also I want to mention concerning that, whether it be the United Arab Emirates or China or any other foreign country. They should not own any strategic point of our country. And concerning this dream that I had, some years ago I had a dream, and this might sound crazy, but I see that everything is coming into play. I had a dream that I saw the Chinese, I'm talking about Chinese soldiers, right in on this soil of the United States of America. And I saw concentration camps. I saw that areas was taken over. They were lining people up in neighborhoods. And this might sound crazy, but they were lining people up, and they mentioned in the dream to line people up to take the mark of the beast. And when I looked up close to the soldier, I looked real close, and I saw he had eyes just like the Chinese. I saw the red star on his helmet. I saw the red star on their equipment. And I backed up out of the line, and I began to run into the next neighborhood, and I began to tell people, whatever you do in this dream, whatever you do, don't take the mark of the beast. Don't take the mark of the beast.
How did the dream end?
The dream ended like I had betrayal in my family in that dream, but then there was another dream that ended when I was headed to a concentration camp, and the soldier actually let me go, and I could see that it seemed like everyone is not in for this new world order or one world government, even the Chinese, and the soldier let me go, and then there was another soldier on the outside of this vehicle. He fought and tried to stop me from leaving this compound, and I fought him off, and I saw him up close again, and there was Chinese eyes, Chinese look with the red star and everything, and I ended up going out into the country. And as soon as I hit the country, I saw another driver come in, and I could see his face. The dream changed where I could see his face, and he looked like disgruntled because he had family in the city. And as soon as I went out into the country, that's when I woke up out of the dream. And when I woke up out of the dream, I thought this was literally happening. But now everything that's going on in today's time, I see it befolding itself. Look at China right now over there in the West Coast with these ports. I mean, there's no telling what's in those containers that's coming into the United States. For all we know, it could be guillotine. You know
well,
what I mean? So,
I hear you. And let me tell you, your dream isn't as crazy as you think it is, and especially on this program. And I've had other people call with similar dreams like that, too. One of the reasons why we have the Second Amendment is because when you look around and you say, my God, we don't have enough soldiers around in this country to protect us all. They're all outside of the country. One of the reasons why we have the Second Amendment is because every armed citizen is a potential soldier. And granted, they may not have the automatics and the things that some of the other military members might if they come parachuting down on us. But you're talking about millions of Americans who would pick up their arms to defend this country if they had to. And that, I believe, is one reason why we've been as strong as we have. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Thank you, George, for taking
sure.
that call. I'm
you're
Alex.
Welcome.
I'm from Rochester, New York. And I had a true story that happened to me, one of the scariest things that ever happened to me. And I just started listening to your show about 6 months ago, and I just love it. And I said, maybe somebody, a trucker, could verify this story because people kind of don't believe me when I tell them. I was on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I was going through a rest area. And as I was going through the double doors into the rest area, there was a man there with a hooded sweatshirt on, and his face was covered in what I thought was like chicken pox, but then I realized it was smallpox. And as I'm going through the door, he spits on the man behind me.
Oh, my God.
And I stopped the rest area because I had to go to the bathroom. So I ran into the bathroom. As I walk into the bathroom, across the big mirror in the woman's room was the word infidels. Well, at the time, I didn't know what infidels was. I didn't know how to spell it. I still don't. Went to the bathroom, and as I came out, there was a woman FBI agent. And she said, what kind of lipstick do you have? And I said, well, I don't have bright red. I said, I wear like a brownish color. And she asked to see it. I showed it to her. And then as I came out, my picture was taken. And the guy that had the smallpox was gone, long gone.
Was he arrested or he just took off?
I think they arrested him. I was in the ladies' room, so I don't know. No, I definitely think he was arrested because there was like 3 or 4 FBI agents around, and he was like disappeared. He was gone. But I can remember he had like a dark blue hooded sweatshirt, and it was pulled real tight. He was, you know, tall, and his face was just covered in these pox. And I realized later, I found out that smallpox is kind of concave, and chickenpox is raised bump. And he was, like, shivering. He had, like, a fever. But, you know, it just happened so quick. It happened.
Now, what did they want with you?
I think they were just checking anybody that was in the ladies' room that could have wrote the word infidels, and they were just checking everybody in the rest area.
So maybe thinking you might have been his partner or something like that?
Yeah, anybody that was in there, yeah. And when I came out, as I drove out of the exit, a man jumped out, like almost like out of the bushes, but out of right across from where the gas pumps were, and took a picture of my license plate.
Man.
And then about, actually almost 2 to 3 weeks later, I really feel like my home was searched. I had I found shards of glass on my black back door, and the glass had been replaced, and my home had been searched.
Why would they even suspect you?
I think they suspected anybody.
Who just happened into that area at the time, huh?
Right, exactly. I went through the doors right when it happened, right, you know, evidently it had been going on for probably about 5 or 10 minutes if the police or FBI had gotten there.
So you think this guy who might have had smallpox might have been some infected plant that they sent here
and wanted to get everyone sick? It's probably happening in other places of the country. It's kind of like suicide bombers, except with disease.
So they really swept this under the old carpet, didn't they?
Exactly. And when I start listening to your show, I said, oh, this is the perfect forum to tell people about this. Also, I was hoping, well, maybe somebody else was in that rest area that day and can verify it. It was like, you know, in the afternoon. And this happened, unfortunately, about 2002, late 2002. So it was probably maybe just a year after 9/11.
Well, you know, we're running out of time tonight, but you know what? Who knows in the upcoming programs that we have with open lines, maybe somebody will check in and tell us what happened. Maybe a whistleblower might also tell us. That is one strange story. Thanks for the call. Next up, Wildcard Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. Joe from Boston. How you doing?
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Oh, well, still having throat problems, going in for some tests. Wish me luck.
Well, let's all say a little prayer for you, Joseph.
Hey, when are you coming up to Boston before I get into my topic? When are you going to come up?
Have no immediate plans to come to Boston.
We want you to come do your show up here.
My aunt passed away last year. I did not go up there for the funeral. I was in Los Angeles at the time. My mom went up there. It was her sister. And that's one of the tragedies of families when they get so big, you can't go to every funeral. But that would have been an opportunity to get there. Nothing on the horizon yet.
Well, keep it up because I want to meet you guys someday.
Okay.
Okay, here's my topic, and I'm sure you agree with me. I think we should don't let anybody control our ports but us. You know, we should take this country back. The Japanese and the Chinese and the people are coming over here, buying up all our country. You go over there, like Alex Jones and other people like Chuck Carter say, you can't buy there, you can't live there, except if you have to have a certain amount of money to live here. They just walk in and just take over, and I think this has to stop. I think, would you have Pat Choate on some night? He's a communist, and would you have some of these other people on, like Mr. Harder? He does his own radio show too, but like Alex, you have him on. I'd be interested in you having them on, hear their take on it, because he pretty much agrees with you, even though some people think Alex is a wacko. I don't think he's as wacko as they think.
Oh, no, he's as sly as a fox, to tell you the truth.
What about these other people like Pat Choate? Have you heard of him?
Did you say he was a communist?
No, he's an economist.
Economist. I was saying, why do I want to put a communist on this show?
He's in a communist.
Yeah, I have not heard of him.
Oh, well, check him out. He's very well known. He's in Washington, D.C. and stuff.
Okay, I'll do that. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, put me back on hold. I want to get Tom's email.
All right, I'll let David do that because you are on my computer. I can't do that here.
Oh, boy.
Without disconnecting. So, David, put him on hold and take care of it for me. And I'll go to this caller. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the program. It's your turn.
Hi. My name's Claire. I guess I have a short story, but can I comment on a few other things first?
I'm not going to have enough time, Claire.
Okay. My story is that long time ago, I was about 18, I had a fella, I didn't know him that well, I just met him, shoot himself in my house. I just met him that day, and he died, consequently. And a couple months later, maybe a year later, I was getting ready to go out of town, and my parents were already out of town, and it was real late at night, and I heard my name whispered a couple times, and I just, like, kind of, I probably didn't go to sleep that night, but it really freaked me out, and I think I moved out soon thereafter, but they still have the house and everything.
Yeah, that would freak me out. What was he doing in the house? I mean, was he invited in?
Yeah, we were going to go down to the beach. I lived like, maybe, a short walk from the beach, and we were going to walk down there, and I just had to do some chores first, like washing the dishes and stuff.
You didn't see this with his personality? He just pulled out a gun and shot himself?
Well, the circumstances were kind of odd. It wasn't just him. There was another girl, and I was in the kitchen doing dishes, and I had the Beatles up pretty loud, and it was the 4th of July. And when I first heard the noise, I thought it was a firecracker. And no, I didn't know the guy well enough. Like I said, I'd only known him for a couple hours, and we were headed down to the beach, like, you know, in 15 minutes. Like, we weren't going to be home for that long. And he had said something like, I bought a gun today, and I think I asked, you know, you don't have that with you, do you? And he had said no. And the girl, when I walked into the room, she wasn't there. She wasn't anywhere to be seen. And then I didn't believe that it had really happened. I thought it was still a cap gun. It looked like a cap gun. And, you know, it just didn't even occur to me that that would happen. And I go back into the kitchen, and I, like, grab the dish towel, and I'm kind of shaking, and I'm drying off my hands, and I go back in, and I see blood this time, but the gun's moved. I don't know how it moved, and the girl's still not in the room. And I pick up the phone, and I call 911, and all of a sudden, she pops into the room from I don't know where.
I got to tell you, you wonder what makes somebody get so depressed to the point where they would want to do that, because no matter how bad it gets, I do believe that eventually, you know, you're going to have light at the end of the old tunnel somewhere, someplace. Well, this is no time for any more calls, as a matter of fact. I'll be, again, in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. I'll be back on Monday. You can look forward to three straight nights of Art Bell with open lines. I believe he's got open lines planned for tomorrow. I don't think he's got any guests planned. And then Ian Punnett will be on Saturday from 6 to 10. He will be live out of Washington, D.C. And then Art again on Saturday, Art again on Sunday, and I'll be back on Monday. So get ready for a whole week's long worth of programming of Coast to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Dave Caprita, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.